This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Oh, into your really? Microphone, Marcia.
Oh, come on. Start off, will you? I'll be there.
No sooner than you have to, right?
You're right.
Hi, I'm John Chalp. No, wait a minute. Wrong one. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hello, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are joined once again by Jessica Hardy, who has been with us for a couple of other episodes here on this recording day. Jessica's here to talk about, well, first of all, welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you for
Hello.
Joining us again. Jessica
Marcia's going to read a book.
Is the founder and...
just checking it out.
And the, yeah, well, yeah, it's going to be... Read to us, Marcia.
I know, we're on a podcast. Nobody could even tell you were reading until somebody said
I had to say so. Yeah. Anyway,
it's not video.
Jessica is the founder of the Chicago Comedy Film Festival, which is now in what year? How many years has it been going now?
We're going into the third year.
Right. And did you start this because as a filmmaker you wanted a venue for the films that you were making, or because you thought it was a good idea and you had a group of people that also thought it was? How did it start?
Well, we had done a feature. We had done two feature films before we started the film festival. And I should say, my husband Brent is the vice president. He's not with us. I'll speak on his behalf.
well, good.
Which I do a lot anyway. And he loves it. No, but we had done two feature films, and we did our second one in 2009, which we shot here in Northern Indiana with Chicago comedians. And we finished it. We sent it out to film festivals, and in doing that research, realized that there's only a handful of film festivals dedicated to comedy. And when you submit these comedy films to the film festivals that have different categories, they say that they accept within a reasonable ratio, but they just mm-hmm. don't. Comedies are not considered a vital art form. I don't think. And
wow.
It's just not taken seriously. You know, these film festivals are very exclusive and they want those raw, edgy, experimental dramas where there's lots of sex and violence and, you know, strange things
going
on.
And the audience walks away going, huh?
Yeah. Or they feel like it's that sells, you know, and comedy is so underrepresented. So anyway, we did become semi-finalists of a film festival. We screened at a couple film festivals. And one day I said, there's no Chicago Comedy Film Festival. And everybody said, yeah, you're right. That's so strange. And so I talked about it more and decided, okay, I guess I'm going to do it. And I have a group of mentors in Chicago that I've worked with for 10 years that were willing to come on my advisory board and kind of lead me and guide me and give me advice. So I wasn't completely alone in doing it, but I did spearhead it.
Okay, so how many films are typically submitted? I mean, what's the typical year and the time frames and submissions? And give us a little feeling for that.
Well, the festival has been held in November, mm-hmm. and then we start for the following year, we accept films pretty much right away in December.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four deadlines, and each deadline has a different fee. We have different categories, and then every couple months the fee goes up. So the idea is if you're an early bird, then you're going to get a break. In the first year, we got about 300 submissions.
Wow.
And we were kind of like, oh, I guess this is probably a good idea. People want this. And then the second year, we got about 400, and then we just hit our first deadline this year, and we've already exceeded what we've done last year by this point.
God. Who would imagine there were that many comedy films?
Now, these are films
anywhere
from full length to, say, short 5-minute, 3-minute types of films?
Yeah, we've added categories. So there's short shorts, which is 5 and under, shorts, 6 and over. Webisodes we've added. So if you have a webisode series, then you can submit 2 of your webisodes, and then we'll screen 3 or 4 of them, and then mm-hmm. we'll give the audience like a link to go check you out the rest of your series.
Right.
And then features. And then we have a student category for both shorts and features. Okay. So that students aren't competing with professionals.
So then what you do is then you obviously narrow these down to the winners, and then those are shown at an event?
Yeah, we have a committee and we watch. There's like a three-tier process. And then once we narrow it down, which is really a grueling process, which is a good problem to have. I was floored that we had so many submissions. But so we narrow it down, and then we officially select the ones we want to screen. And then they screen at the film festival, and they're voted on by a jury. Mm-hmm. And then we have like best of fest, audience choice. We have a student endowment award where they get a cash reward. And then we've got top female filmmaker award that we've done.
Okay.
Where do you show these for the festival?
Well, we don't know yet.
But
the first year we were at a pretty big movie theater in the South Loop called Showplace Icon. They had just opened and they were looking to bring in events. So we did it there. Last year, DePaul University sponsored us, so we screened at the university. And this year, we're looking at doing something a little bit more of a raw, edgy space. We're looking into like comedy theater spaces, maybe going into just a different area and neighborhood instead of just focusing on the downtown loop. But we haven't decided yet where it's going to be at this point. So
that's really good, though. That must make you feel really good, you know, that you came up with this idea and it's really getting big.
Well, like I mentioned, I worked in the theater world for 6 years in Chicago. And part of my experience as an artist, because I produce films and I act and I do comedy and improv, it's really hard to make a living.
Yeah.
And so I was working a day job, but I really didn't like my day job and it was making me miserable. So I've really kind of put myself out there and taken a risk. I can't say that I'm making a living doing this, but I feel like there's potential there that I feel like then at least if I'm doing something during the day, I'm making a difference and I'm providing an opportunity in a way that I didn't feel like I was making a difference before. And that's such a balance for artists because we have to make a living.
Right.
But then I got sick of just making a living. I wanted to do something that would make a difference and would help keep the arts alive. And I know film's different than theater and the medium, but it's the same idea that filmmakers need a place to show their stuff too.
Yeah. And what's the hardest part about, is it sort of the arguing over whether one film makes it or not? You know, you feel really strongly about one and someone else on a committee doesn't, and you have that kind of, gee, I hate to let this one go, that kind
She's
of thing.
Smiling, that must mean it's right.
That's right. It's got to be kind of emotional at times.
Well, no, it doesn't get emotional.
Any fist fights?
No, I mean, ultimately, I have to sometimes make those decisions, and I just have to say, this is what we have to do, because we're still new. So in some ways, it's kind of like we were talking about on the other podcast. It's a business, right? So you have to think about, we don't have a built-in audience yet. People don't know about us still. Even though the name is there, it's still difficult to sell tickets sometimes. You still have to have something on the marquee, so to speak, that draws attention. So sometimes choices are made just for that reason. I made that, and then you make a decision like that. And then I did have a board member say to me, why did you do that? Because they didn't like it. Now, some people did like it. Some people thought it was funny.
Your choice?
The choice. Yeah. Had some big names in it. It was funny. It was an interesting concept, but she just felt like it wasn't needed. Well, then unfortunately, it was the only film that we had the worst experience with. That the people that came and got involved from their end were not easy people to work with. So I'm now learning a lot about just focus on the mission. Just focus on, you just want to support good work.
Right.
And I think that if you can focus on that in any business that's art, hopefully that will sustain you. But it's not easy, and there have been some charge discussions, but really the biggest challenge is just running it in general and getting a sponsorship.
That's right. And now your two films have been comedies, or your two feature-length films have been comedies. Can you tell us just a little bit about those?
Well, the first one is called Off the Cuff, and it's a mockumentary about Chicago improv. And so Brent, my husband, and I, we wrote it. We wrote the outline, and then we made it a more detailed outline, and then we got Chicago improvisers to come and basically do it. Mm-hmm. And it was literally off the cuff, where they, the dialogue is all improvised, and the story was written by us. And that one was our first feature, so it we didn't do much with it. We screened it a few times. But I will say that some of the improvisers that were in it have gone on to become bigger in the last 5 years. And so it was kind of neat to say before Vanessa Bayer went to SNL, she did our movie, and Michael Palisak, who's been on Letterman and whatnot. And we all kind of still keep in touch, and it's just kind of, it's a nice little heartwarming memory. Mm-hmm. And then Welcome to General Waters is another mockumentary we did about a drug and alcohol rehab center in northern Indiana on a lake, in a lake community.
Uh-huh.
And five strangers have to come together for a weekend of rehab with a leader that's has no experience in drug and alcohol in his own life and thinks that he can rehabilitate people.
In a weekend.
In a weekend. Has his social work degree but doesn't quite understand real failure in life. Yeah, okay. So they have to kind of work with him.
Like in other words, college educated but not no real life
right.
yet. Yeah, hasn't been there yet. Yeah. No. Oh, that's always fodder for good comedy, I'm sure. How do you relate your theater experience? Obviously improv is been very important. As far as the festival is concerned, does theater figure into that, your theatrical experience?
I think so, because I think it, I feel like I have a broad understanding of acting and what goes into a storytelling. I mean, mm-hmm. just having that background in theater and improv and now film, it just, I feel like it makes me more well-rounded to lead
right.
and help guide those decisions. But yeah, certainly, you know, it's all the same. We're telling a story. So right. it has to have a good story.
With the 400 plus entries that you get now, of those, I mean, is there a qualification, first of all, for what you consider to be a professional director? I mean, is there, and then on top of that, how many of those are you really initially able to just throw out the door? Because they are just, I mean, you watch the first 15 seconds of it and you know it's not worth continuing.
Well, I mean...
Or do you have to watch the whole thing?
We do have to watch the whole thing. Now, if I can't hear it, if I can't... If the picture is so horrible that it's like my eyes are falling out of my head, then I know that I can't show it at my festival because the technical issues are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be just a disqualifier right away. Since there's a committee... It's sort of like it has to get passed around. And so it's going to get watched. It has to be. As far as the professional director and how to know that, I mean, they provide like a press kit and a background, some background information on whether this is their first project or not. And, but it's all in the same, it's all considered together. I mean, it really doesn't, I really am very committed to focusing on story. And if it's not a good story and it's not within our mission, of, you know, because I'm not, I don't want to just put comedy out there that's, as we talked about, that's blue humor and mm-hmm. that we right. get so much of. I mean, we have, there's plenty of that. We want something that's going to really make us think, because mm-hmm. comedy right. is vital.
Right.
And that's the idea. So.
Now, but can an amateur who just decides one day to say, okay, I'm going to make a film, and it turns out that they actually have some talent, they're not really professionals, can they, but they do something that maybe is in the range of the standards, can they submit, or do they yeah. have to have a professional background?
No, anybody can submit.
Well, you had one from your festival last year, wasn't the with the little man on the horse?
Yeah.
And that was an amateur video,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had yeah. A lot of...
Which you guys, I don't know if there's anywhere to see that video.
I'm
but
sure there
it was
is.
Like the biggest gut busting laugh I have let out of my body in a yeah. long time. So,
well, that's the whole idea that I talked about in the beginning, which is that film festivals have this really bad reputation for being so exclusive, and you hear all the time, I won't name a festival, but you just know that there are certain festivals that now have relationships with studios. And even though they're taking those submission fees and saying, oh, yeah, anybody can submit, they've already planned what they're going to screen.
You're just donating money at that point, depending on who you are. Yeah.
So that's given film festivals a really bad reputation, where filmmakers have said, screw festivals, I'm done with festivals. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep with sustaining and being able to run the festival. I'm still trying to be for the filmmaker. It's for them. It's not, we're not just trying to like, so that's hard. But
with that, is there any educational opportunity for the filmmaker? Meaning, do you give any feedback on that film then? Or is, like, do they see your screening notes? Do they see anything like that to help them maybe?
And it's kind of standard not to, because it's so subjective. I mean, at the end of the day, it still is. But we have gotten some emails after the fact, some of them not so nice, but some of them that legitimately want to know. And I haven't done that yet, because I feel like I don't know how we would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe.
You feel like it's people that say they really want to know why their film didn't make it, but yet if you tell them,
then they want to argue about it.
They want to argue and they'll have 50 reasons why what you thought was not really true.
Right.
You know?
But you were saying like sound quality, audio quality. They may have a wonderful storyline, but if you can't even watch the film, then they need to know that they can't keep submitting things like that.
And as a filmmaker, that could be valuable because, like I said, Welcome to Gentle Waters got – we had submitted to the Feel Good Film Festival in Hollywood, and they do some really great stuff. And their mission is kind of very similar to my film festival, and they're looking for good story, and they want the audience to feel warm and fuzzy. And we were semi-finalists for their film festival. And I at that point, before I started CCFF, I knew what my technical issues were, but I kind of did want to hear it from them. I did kind of want to hear, was that the reason, or was there another reason? But maybe, you know, maybe those technical notes could be given, if any.
Mm-hmm. Or,
Yeah, well, because if you don't like content, a lot of that, as you said, it's subjective.
It's subjective.
You know?
Right. But if it's physical, if it's something that they could actually do something about, it'd be interesting. I'm just curious. That's why I asked.
Online, are any of the submissions available to be viewed online anywhere?
That's a good question, Dave.
Are they at your website?
And Brent will be very happy that you asked. No, I didn't, unless he was doing his research. So
never.
Brent has been developing the CCFF channel, which is the first ever.
YouTube, you mean?
No, it's actually separate from YouTube.
Okay.
Right now we're working with PivotShare, but we're going to be using a couple of different forums to do this. But so you submit your film, and then we talk about distribution. So distribution is a whole other ball of wax because it's nearly impossible. And independent filmmakers are constantly just trying to get as many likes on Facebook and Twitter so that companies will look at their work and even consider them. And so we kind of got this idea that could we provide a platform from which the films can be screened after the festival to give them another like leverage point.
Yeah.
So we've created the CCFF channel. It's non-exclusive. So if they want to opt into it, they can. And it's just a digital download or streaming option.
It's on Roku?
It's on PivotShare.
PivotShare. I'm not familiar with that.
And they get a cut of the profit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do too, because we have to be able to – this will be a possible way for us to sustain over the long term, possibly, rather than relying on submission fees like other festivals do. And then they get a cut, and then they can also use the idea that the reason that we also came up with this is because Welcome to Gentle Waters is on Amazon. Well, it's flooded. I mean, there's so many films on Amazon. No one's ever going to just find us. But if we have the CCFF channel, then it stands out. You have sort of a hub where it's like you were official selection. So then the idea is they can use that as leverage to maybe get picked up by a bigger distributor. And then they can take it down if they want, or they can leave it up if they want to just make money.
I see. Okay.
So.
And then just one last thing. One of the cool things I like also is that you don't just do the film festival in Chicago, but then you have these Laugh Out Local events, which is how we get a chance to view some of those things here at our home theater. Just talk a little bit about that if you could.
Yeah. We haven't done as many this year because we've been working on so many other aspects of the festival. It kind of took us away from doing a lot of these events. But last year we went to 3 or 4 different cities, took some of the films that we felt would fit programming for that city, and then we screened them at like a local theater to bring in just some independent film that people might not get an opportunity to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. And we've talked about going to New Orleans this year, but I don't know if we will. But yeah. We did come here.
Right, which is it was fun. And just to kind of give that idea of an independent film festival, something that they're not going to see anywhere else in the community here on our stage.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to actually book a Laugh Out Local event, they would contact you via?
They can contact Brent at brent@chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com.
Okay, and chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com is the website as well, right? So if you want to know everything about the Chicago Comedy Film Festival, go to chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com.
But the Laugh Out Local events are great.
We did one here and brought what, 3 films?
3 or 4.
Three or four films here. And I love that. What was the one called? It was the one about the guy that was the fat, thought he was fat, but it wasn't fat.
Oh, Gross.
Gross.
Gross, yeah.
That was the winner of the film festival this past year.
That was a scream.
I will say, like, already in the submissions that have come in this year, the quality is just exceeding what we've done before. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So.
And are most people work at this? It's a film festival, but you're really talking mostly video at this point, right? There's not a lot of people producing on film for the film festival.
No, I mean, we get a lot of student submissions because that's a medium that they're using to just practice in. But typically, it's all digital, HD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But, well, it's less expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I'd like to thank Jessica Hardy for joining us today to talk about the Chicago Comedy Film Festival at chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com. And good luck in the future. We'll keep an eye on it. Make sure you check out their website, and I won't say it again.
Okay.
What is that? chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com?
I'm not going to say it.
Yes, it is .com.
I refuse.
With a Chicago Comedy Film Festival before the .com.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Up with.
I know, Marcia.
Lord.
This wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us in the Zune Marketplace. You can pick us up for your iPhone or Android device using any kind of podcatcher. And our favorite is Stitcher Smart Radio, which has a whole theater section. And go figure, Theater Geeks is right in the middle of it. And so there's those kind of things. You can also go to our online store, which is at theatergeeks.com/store, where you'll see all kinds of things like coffee mugs, which are Marcia's favorite.
They're great. Absolutely.
Great mugs.
I just used mine this morning.
That's right. And then they also have, and I'll say it, underwear.
I did not say it.
It's imprinted monogram. And all, yes, it has the Theater Geeks logo right on it, so there's no mistake.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, there's another radio broadcast that actually gives underwear to their guests. Just something to think about.
That's a stumper. It's male underwear.
No, there's both kinds, actually.
Yeah. Oh,
obviously. Well, hey,
there we go. All right.
Just thought I'd say that.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap that up.
Good.
Anyway, it's the end of a long broadcast day here at Theater Geeks. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.